If you have your Bibles with you, you can open up to the Old Testament. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says all Scripture, including the Old Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, when Paul talked to the church in Thessalonica, he said in 1 Thessalonians 2:11, 13 through 13, he said, for this cause also cease we not to give thanks, because when you received the word of God, you received it not as if it were the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which works effectively also in you who believe. These are not man's words in this book. This is a book that came, it was sent to us from heaven. People have no excuse not to read it either, do they? Because they like to do text messages, don't they? Well, God sent you a real nice text message. You know, when Paul was talking about it to the church in Galatia, he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. These words that Paul wrote down, they came right from Jesus. Amen? You know, and Peter talked about it also. He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So really, men were just God's vessel that He worked through. He said that everything written in the past is written to teach us that through endurance and encouragement, we might have hope through the Scriptures. Romans 15:4. Now, if you turn on over to Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you have your Bibles there with you, Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'm going to read something to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We exalt you and praise you, Jesus. He says this in verse 12, Wherefore it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, notice he said we have to do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers, and he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, that's your children, and the fruit of thy land, that's your crops, thy corn, thy wine, thy oil, increase of thine kind, and flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he swore to your fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. And this is if we hear his word and do it. Remember, it said that we got to do it. This is a promise that if we'll act upon His word, He'll give us this. Shall not be, He said, blessed will be above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you. A lot of people, they wonder, they just don't understand why they cannot have children. I can tell you why. It's part of the curse. Not everybody's affected by the same parts of the curse. You see, you can have one woman living in deliberate sin, and she has all the children she wants, and another one, and she's living in sin, and she cannot have them. It's just depending on what effects of the curse are falling upon your physical body. He says this, there should not be a male or female barren among you. You know, some men have that problem too. They're not able to produce. Or among your cattle. Well, cattle is a big source of income too, so they're talking prosperity here. And then he says in verse 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. I'm going to read that again. The Lord shall take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Now, it's the Old Testament way of talking. That's how he talked many times. God has never made anybody sick, but he's talking about through the law, sowing and reaping. According to Galatians 6 and 7, what a man sows, he shall also reap. You sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. That's why he said that Egypt, or those that hate them, are going to reap those diseases. I'll put them on them. In other words, they're going to reap the consequences. But if you'll obey me, you're not going to reap these consequences. But I want you to notice one thing here. He says this, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness. All sickness. If you've got a pen with you, I would encourage you to underline or circle the word all. He said all sickness. If we will walk in obedience to God and we've given our whole heart to Him, we have the right to walk free from all sickness. Amen. God has provided it through redemption on the cross, through the blood of Christ. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53, it says He bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. That word, griefs and sorrows, is what it says in your King James Version. But griefs, and you know, if you look those words up in the Hebrew, it should have been translated coli. Coli. Now, that word may sound familiar to E. coli. Now, that's talking about sickness. And when he said sorrows, he's talking about pains. He bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. We don't have to have any of that. Jesus bore it for us. Now, if anybody want to be contentious about that and not believe that that actually is talking about sickness, all you have to do is go over to Matthew chapter 8. And in verse 17, Matthew wrote down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that same verse. It says, that it might be filled what is written, He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. And he's quoting Isaiah 53. So we know for a fact, according to the New Testament, Jesus just got done doing all those miracles and signs and wonders right there. He healed Peter's mother. He healed all the demon-possessed and the people that were coming by the household. And it says that He might be fulfilled, that He took up our infirmities and carried our disease. He quoted Isaiah 53. So we know in context that it is for sure actually talking about Him bearing our sicknesses and carrying our diseases. We don't have to have that. Amen. Now, I'm going to show you a couple other Old Testament scriptures. Going over to, if you have your Bible open, Exodus 15. I'll show you another one. In verse 26, he said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord thy God and do what is right in His eyes, if you listen carefully to the voice, notice he said listen carefully, he didn't say listen, he said listen carefully, to the voice of the Lord thy God and do what is right. So listen to the word and do it. Do what is right in His eyes. What's right in His eyes? Doing what the Word says. Doing what His voice is telling you to do. His voice is His Word. If you pay attention. Notice there's ifs in here. It's contingent upon our actions. If our actions line up with the book, we can have health. If you pay attention to His commands. So He makes it very clear that the voice He's talking about is the commandments of God. And keep all His decrees. So we're living according to it. I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's one of the names of God. You know, everybody's, you know, if you've been around the church long enough, you've heard of Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. The word Jehovah means self-existent, eternal one. The self-existent, eternal one. The word Rapha means who heals. He's our healer. He's the self-existent, eternal, immutable one. Immutable means He doesn't change. Now, that's very important to understand about God's healing, that He is the self-existent, eternal, immutable one, Jehovah. Because if He's immutable, that means He does not change. So we can rest assured that when you get sick, or you have disease on your body, or pain in your body, that God didn't put it there. Because He just told you His name. He's the self-existent, eternal, immutable one, in unity. That's the three members of the Godhead is in there. It's talking about all three members of the immutable one. That means all three members of the Godhead are immutable, and that means immutable means they don't change. So you can rest assured if any pain or any discomfort or anything's going on, aches and pains, all that stuff, that's not coming from God. How do you know? Because he said he's the immutable one. Well, what does that mean? He means he does not change. In another place he said, I am the Lord and I change not. Which means that if he's the self-existent, eternal, immutable one in unity who does not change, who heals you, you can rest assured if he's healing you, he's not putting any sickness on you to teach you a lesson. Now, you may be getting taught a lesson by the devil not to play in his playground. Because if we deliberately live a lifestyle of sin, we open up the door for sickness, but Jesus paid the price. So we can live in divine health. Everyone say divine health. Divine health means that when sickness tries to attempt to present itself to you, you can say, I resist you in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not taking it. And sometimes you need to be aggressive because Satan will, you know, there's another, one devil's trying to present sickness to you and another devil's over your shoulder saying, oh, you're getting sick. And then there's another devil trying to produce an atmosphere of doubt. So then when you do try to resist the devil, he's saying, nah, it's not going to work. It's already, you already have the symptoms. It's over with. I hope you're listening. I'm telling you this from experience. And I'm also telling you from experience, if you'll stand up and resist the devil aggressively and say, I'm not taking your sickness. Jesus Christ bore this on the cross. Sickness and disease is a result of the broken law. And I've been redeemed according to Galatians 3:13-14. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, this sickness does not belong to me. And I will not take it, devil. So get out in Jesus' name. By the time you're done quoting a couple scriptures at him, he's gone. Wow. If you stand up to him. Now, Paul talked about standing up against the devil's schemes in Ephesians chapter 6. He said to put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, who's bringing it? The devil. When the day of evil comes, you may do everything to stand. And he told you who's bringing the evil day. He said it, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. He said we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against those demonic spirits in Ephesians 6:12. Amen? I'm just going to do what God wants me to do here. He said these words, he said, I have made the provision and the price has been paid. So lift up your heads high and have faith in my word and believe that what I said is true. And as you learn to stand on my word and aggressively stand against the devil's schemes, you will see that he will flee as you submit to me, as you submit to my word, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, he says here, I am the Lord who healeth thee. That's one of the names of God. Now you may ask yourself, it seems like God's got dozens and dozens of names, which he does. Why is that? You know, and I asked God this question once and I thought, you know, God, can't you just have one name? Why do you got to have dozens and dozens of names? And he gave me the example. He said, you know, when you carry 10 bags of groceries in your arms and you come up walk up all those stairs and your wife says to you, he says, that's my strong man, she says to you. I said, yeah. He said, you know, when you get all dressed up and you look real good and you're going out to a wedding or something like that and your wife says, that's my handsome man. I said, yeah. He said, I am a big and mighty God. I'm a multifaceted God and it takes many names to describe who I am. See, God's not like us. There's a lot to God, and just for our feeble minds that are being renewed to the Word of God to be able to even comprehend who He is, He's got to have all those names. Amen? Amen? So you can understand why He's Jehovah and He's the Living One and He's the Almighty and all these things, Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah, you know, all these other names. Elohim and so on and so forth. Now, I'm going to read you one more Old Testament scripture as we get into this. You can turn on over to Malachi chapter 4. That's right before Matthew. That's one you can find. Malachi chapter 4. And he said these words. I'm going to read from the King James Version. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now, it's talking about Jesus. This is a prophecy. And it was actually just shortly before he actually came. It was hundreds of years. But he says, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. In other words, your youth is going to be renewed like the eagles, like Isaiah said. You're going to have health in your body. Amen? That's what we want to have, is health in our body. Now, you may say to yourself, well, Pastor Dan, this is Old Testament scriptures. Again, I say unto you, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And not only that, but he said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 6 and 10, verse 1, he said, we have a better covenant with better promises. So, if there were healing promised in the Old Covenant, how much more can we receive the benefits of Christ's redemption, that he paid the price at the cross through his blood? How much more can we receive the benefits now? That he's paid the price by his blood. By his stripes we've been healed. Amen. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. Where did he take them to? On that cross. Amen. He took them up on that cross. I can tell you this. That if you go through Deuteronomy 28, it tells you the curses of the broken law. And it goes through all these different diseases. And there's hundreds and hundreds of different diseases. I can tell you this, that on that cross, every single one of those diseases was, Jesus had, Satan employed every one of those diseases upon Jesus' physical body on that cross. He puffed up so hideous, he took all of that sickness, all of it. I don't care what your portraits have been painted to you. You wouldn't want what met up with your Savior on that day hanging on your wall. You wouldn't be able to eat a light breakfast. Jesus bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases. It says in Isaiah 52 that he was marred worse than any man. There's no person that's ever lived on the face of the earth that's ever been as marred as Jesus was on that day when your sin met up with him. Amen? He bore it for you. You don't need to have sickness. He paid the price. Now, if you, I can quote this to you, but I'd like you to actually underline this. So go on over to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to just kind of pace at the Holy Ghost here. And these are good scriptures for you to stand on. He says this in Matthew 7 verse 11. I still hear the rustling of Bible pages. Matthew 7, verse 11, he says this. We'll start in verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a steak. Now we know that none of us would do that to our children. If they're asking us for food, we wouldn't give them a stone and break their teeth on it. We wouldn't give them a snake. They could get bit by that thing. Amen? And then he gives them this to paint a portrait to them of God. He says in verse 11, if you then, though you are evil... And what he means by that is you're capable of evil. Human beings, I don't care how good of a Christian you are, if you wanted to, you could still sin. You don't have to. You have the power to overcome sin. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world and all of his tactics. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, including living a holy life. But if you wanted to, you could still screw up, which means that you're capable of evil. But he gives you an example that God is not even capable of evil. Why? Because he, in him, is... In him is light. There's no darkness at all. God is light. God has nothing to do with darkness. And again, that word Jehovah means immutable one. Immutable one. He cannot change. He says, if you, being capable of evil, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those that ask Him. So what He's trying to paint you a picture is, even the best human being on the face of the earth, God is better than that. So we can trust and know that if you wouldn't even give your children something bad because you love them, how much less would God do something evil to you? God's not going to put sickness on anybody. God's not going to put a poverty or a lack on anybody. It doesn't matter how big of a portrait the enemy tries to paint that God did this to teach you a lesson. That's not so. God would rather have you learn a lesson from reading your Bible. He'd rather have us just pick up our Bible and learn that way than have to reap what we sow through our sin. I mean, you may reap sickness through your sin, it's possible, but God's not doing that to you. God is love. Let me ask you a question. Would you throw a cancer on your child if they were bad, or throw cancer on them to teach them a lesson? No. But people do reap what they sow through their sin, but God not throwing that on them to teach them a lesson. You understand what I'm trying to say to you today? Let me give you another example. James chapter 1. He says, when tempted, let no man say, God is tempting me. Verse 13. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire, everyone say own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So he's not only telling you that God is incapable of doing any evil, not even tempting you. He can't do that. But He's also telling you that sin gives birth to death. So when bad things are happening to you, it could be because of something we're doing. It could be. But then He goes on and He says this, do not be deceived. Every good and perfect gift is coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. That's God, the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Why is He saying that? Because in verse 12 He said, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he should receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised. And then He goes in and tells you God cannot tempt you. And then He goes on to tell you that God, don't be deceived. God can't change. God's not the one tempting you, and God's not the one causing sickness and disease and any evil or poverty or lack or confusion or mental and emotional problems or weakness or tiredness. He's not causing that. Do not be deceived. Every good and perfect, in other words, if it's good and perfect, it's coming from God. If it's not good and perfect, it is not from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And then He goes on to show you that God, how good He is. He said, He's the one, He chose to give us birth. He's talking about born again. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all He created. So He's trying to paint you a picture that God's not the one tempting or causing any kind of evil. He's the one that's out for your good. He's the one that's on your side. He is your ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's your ever-present help in the time of need. He's touched by the feelings of your infirmities. He's in there with you in the midst of trial. He's your helper. You know, it calls Him God, the God of all comfort, the Father of compassion. Could you see the God of all comfort throw a disease on someone? He didn't do that. He's our helper, our comforter, our paraclete, our standby, our intercessor, our advocate with the Father, Jesus is. He's the God of all comfort, the Father of compassion. He's the God of love and peace, it calls Him. The God of peace, the Prince of peace, the Lord of peace. The God who gives endurance and encouragement, it calls Him. So when all these things come up against you, you can rest assured that God had no part of it whatsoever. Now, you may have caused some problems. You know, a lot of time when people sin, really what they do is they open up the door for extra problems. You're already going to have problems even if you live a holy life. He said, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. People are already going to come against you and cause you problems if you're living a holy life. And it gets even harder as us Christians if we choose to disobey God's word. So let's just stay in obedience to His word. And if we'll do that, then we're under His protection. He just can't get at you. You got so much of the oil of the Holy Ghost on you that the devil can't get his dirty little fingers on you. He just slips right off. Amen? You got the anointing on you. Now, 3 John 2 says this, Beloved, I wish above all things, this is what God wishes for you, that you may prosper. That means success in every realm, including financial prosperity. And be in health, even as your soul prospers. Again, that's talking about obedience. As we get transformed, the more we're walking according to His Word, the more our souls prospers, the easier it's going to be to have prosperity and health. He said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. He said, May the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful and He will do it. So, if we have a sickness and disease in our body, would you call that a blameless body? He said, may the God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. Which means that, and that's a Holy Ghost anointed prayer. So God wants your whole physical body to be kept blameless. Well, how is that going to happen? Well, we're going to believe God. Well, I don't have any faith. Sure you do. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And that's what we're hearing today. Amen. Hearing through the Word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. Now in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by God the Father, oppressed by the Holy Ghost. No, oppressed by the devil. So what's happening in your life, if you were to put it on a scale, and you had a scale here, and you put it on one side, you said, okay, is this oppression? Or is this doing good? Is this something good? You can put it on there, and you can look at it and weigh it, and you can take a good glance at it and make a decision. Well, I would say this leans toward the side of oppression, then you can know it's coming from the devil. Amen? And if it seems to be something really, really good, then you can say, well, this is coming from God. Because He says that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost and power, that's all three members of the Godhead. God the Father anointing Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. So all three members of the Godhead, and then He went out doing what? Good. So all three members of the Godhead, which are immutable, are doing good. And the devil, He went healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So the devil's the one who causes sickness and oppression. Now let's see this in action. Go on over to Luke chapter 13. And we'll see Jesus actually doing this, and we'll see these types of wording again in Scripture about Jesus healing and the devil oppressing someone. We're going to start out in verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues, Luke 13:10. And a woman is there who had been crippled. She's crippled now by a spirit. She's crippled by a spirit for 18 years. That's a long time. She's crippled by a spirit. And now listen to the symptoms. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. So she's there, she's in the synagogue like this. She's so crippled up, she can't even stand up. Her back is all wrenched. And it's a spirit that caused it, it says. Well, let's find out if that spirit's of God. When Jesus saw her, He called her forward. He said, come up here. And said to her, woman, are you set free? You are set free from your infirmity. Then He put His hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Now, I want you to notice just a couple things here. Notice He said, you are set free from your infirmity, while she was still bent over. Was He lying? No, it says in Romans 4:17, that God is the God that calls those things that be not as though they were. The reason I'm saying this is I want you, next time a sickness or disease or a poverty or anything evil comes on you, start speaking against it. If He said, let the poor say that I'm rich. He said, let the weak say that I'm strong. Start confessing positive things over your body and be consistent. Because if you walk around saying that you have a diabetes and you're broken up and crippled and everything hurts, that's what you're going to get. You know, We know the world, you know, you are what you eat, they say. Well, you are what you say. The book of Proverbs says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you're, sometimes things try to creep in from old age, but he promises us life and life more abundantly. You know, when Joshua was ready to go home, he said, I'm just as young. He said, I'm just as young and vigorous as the day I brought you in this place. And he was going on 80 to 100 years old, somewhere in that realm. So you can live, you said your youth is being renewed like eagles. You can confess that over your body every day. I would start doing it when I'm young, so by the time I get old, it's manifesting. Amen? We can speak words of life. Jesus said the thief, the devil, came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now sickness and disease, that's in that line. Stealing, killing, and destroying. That's coming from Satan's manufacturing workshop. Those little devils that create diseases in their workshops and come out and try to put that, employ that on you. But God has come to give us life. Amen? Life more abundantly. An abundant life. Not just life, not just eternal life, but an abundant life here and now. He said those that forsake all can receive 100-fold here and now in this life and in the age to come. Eternal life. Amen? Now, let's go on here because he's going to tell us who was really crippling her. Was it God? We know it was a spirit. And we know that Jesus, again, he said, you are set free before she was set free. And then he laid hands on her and immediately she straightened up. So he spoke words of faith. That's what we're doing when we say, I am healed. The devil says, no, you're not. I am healed. Pain gets even three times worse and you can't even walk now. Say, I'm healed. He says, no, you're not. This is what Kenneth Hagin Sr., he was on the bed of affliction, ready to die as a young Baptist boy on the bed of affliction, he says. And the pastor said, you're going to die. The doctor said, you're going to die. His parents said, you're going to die. Everybody said he's going to die, but he grabbed a hold of a Bible and he found Mark 11, 23 and 24. And he says, I can have whatever I say. I can have whatever I say. And then he said, well, then I say that I'm healed. And then he thought, he reasoned, this is a young boy. Nobody taught him this but God himself. All he had was a Bible. Everybody, his pastor was telling him he's going to die. But instead of listening to that, he listened to what God had said. Now the devil tells you you're going to die, you're going to get sick. But if you listen to what God has said and say, I'm healed. And that's what Kenneth Hagin did. He said, well, I'm healed. And if I'm healed, what am I doing laying in this bed? So he fought and he said if everything but life felt like it was going through his body. He felt so weak. And I think the first few times he said he failed. And he got back in the bed. But he kept trying to get back up and fall over on the floor and he'd get back up. He was so weak. He was ready to die. He had a heart problem. He had no strength whatsoever. And he kept calling himself healed and speaking the word of God. And you know what? He went on and he preached some 60 years after he got saved and born again. Amen? We can have what we want to say. What are you going to do? Are you going to aggressively lay down for the devil and let him do bad things to you? Are you going to lay down and let him touch your body and bring bad things on you? Or are you going to stand up and aggressively take your stand against sickness and disease? It belongs to you. You can tell the devil, I have a born-again Christian right to be healed. And I don't care how long it takes. I am going to stand against your schemes and you will not keep me sick, devil. I call myself healed. Next day goes by. 3 months goes by. 6 months goes by. By that time, you're probably starting to feel a bit better if you're consistent in confessing it. I'd have a hard time accepting the fact that you weren't feeling better by then. We had the one lady come here and she called me up on the phone. She was so crippled up. She said, you got a stair lift? She said, I can barely walk. We had to pick her up in the van. She could barely get in the van. She had to ride the chair lift up. Within a few weeks, we prayed for her. She started walking with the walker pretty good. And just a few weeks later, she said, you know what, I don't need the walker anymore. And after that, she could walk and move around so good, she'd jump it around a little bit, she started walking to church. Walking herself. She couldn't even walk. She couldn't even get in the van, and now she's walking half a mile or a mile or whatever it is all the way to church by herself. Why? Because God loves her and He healed her. He wanted her to have health. Amen. God wants you to have health. Now let's take another look at this. If you'll release, we can move on. Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her. Immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Jesus answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Now they had to reason this. They knew they would do it. They wouldn't let their animals waste away and die of thirst just because it's a Sabbath. And then he says this, of course we'd do that. Sure, we'd let him out. Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, that means she belonged to the covenant, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath from what bound her? Now notice who had her bound. It said she was crippled by a spirit earlier. Now it says that Satan kept her bound. Who's the one that set her free? I said, who's the one that set her free? Satan had her bound and crippled. Jesus set her free. So we see that Satan is the one oppressing. God is the one, Jesus, going around setting people free. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus went about healing all and doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil back then, that means that today, he said, same, yesterday, today, and forever. That means today and forever, he's still doing good and healing all who will come to him in faith. Amen? Now you may say to yourself, Pastor Dan, I tried to get healed before, I just don't have enough faith. Don't listen to that. Romans chapter 12 says that he's dealt to each man the measure of faith. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, he told that church that your faith grows exceedingly. According to Galatians chapter 5, 22-23, one of the fruits of the Spirit that he mentions is faith, which means that faith is something that grows. Faith is something that can grow exceedingly. Faith is something that can be developed. Now, I can remember certain things coming on my body, and I fought it as hard as I can, and I just could not get that thing off my body. But I can tell you now that I've had even bigger things come up against me, and I aggressively stand up against it and get it off myself. How? By faith. Why? Because God is pleased with your faith. Now, we know that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's a title deed. Well, how do I know that I'm healed? Because God, that you have the title deed, the word of faith. God's word says I'm healed. Doesn't look like you're healed. Doesn't feel like you're healed. But you have something that's more powerful than that sickness and pain trying to cling to your body. And that's called faith. Every man's been dealt the measure of faith. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, he says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Well, who is he? We just read over there in Exodus 15, 26, I am the Lord who healeth thee. We must first believe that he is our healer, and if we believe that he is our healer, and we will stand on that, and we believe that he's our physician, not those people over at the hospital, not those people over at the doctor's office. If we'll believe that God is our primary physician, we'll say it like that. There's nothing wrong going to the doctor, but we don't want to put our faith in them. If we will make God our primary physician and put our trust in him, that faith pleases him, and he rewards those, according to Hebrews 11, 6, who have faith. How does he reward you? Well, you are able to receive that healing now. Why? Because you believe that, first of all, that he is. Who is he? Is he the one oppressing you? No. He's the one healing you. We believe that he is. That's it. You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that go to what they call the church. They don't even believe that He is. I believe in God. I believe this. I believe that. But if when it comes to sickness, they don't believe that He's... They'll say that they believe He's their healer. But then the first thing that happens, they run to the doctor instead of even using their faith. They don't take their aggressive stand. Why? Because they don't really actually... They may mentally assent with their fallen brain that God's the healer, but they don't have a revelation that He's the healer. Now, why don't they have a revelation? Well, possibly because they may have never heard it before. Nobody told them this truth. But if they did and they're rejecting it, it's because they don't have revelation knowledge. There's a difference between mentally assenting to God's Word and having a revelation. Well, where does revelation knowledge come from, Pastor Dan? From the Holy Ghost. How does He get it in there? Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is not only a gift of utterance, it is a gift of revelation. It is the gift that builds you up on your most holy faith. It's a gift that builds you up a sense-dominated mental assent realm to the place where you're able to now have a revelation that no one can take from you. Nobody can take my healing. Nobody can take my prosperity. I have a knowing in my spirit that that belongs to me. Amen?
Amen.
Satan had her bound. Jesus set her free. Now let's see this one more time. Going over to Mark chapter 5. We're not going to be able to get through all this today. I want you to see this in verse 25. I'll read verse 24. A large crowd followed and pressed around Him, Jesus. And a woman is there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Everyone say subject to bleeding. She had an issue with blood. Verse 26, she had suffered, everyone say suffered, a great deal under the care of many doctors. Everyone say many doctors. So here we have a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. Is that what it says? So the doctors are trying to help her, but it was not working. Now I want you to see something else. It says she spent all she had. Now underline that. That means that she spent, if it says she spent all she had, that means she spent every last penny and possibly went into debt over it trying to get her body healed because she had an issue of blood. She spent all she had and suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors for 12 years and spent everything that she had. Yet no one could help her. Now she had heard of Jesus. And let's read on. Says this. When she heard of Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak. Now Matthew says because she thought, but another gospel says she said to herself. She said, Mark says that she thought it, but Matthew says that she said to herself. She said to herself, it says in the book of Matthew. She said, if I just touch His clothes, I will be healed. Now, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. One touch of Jesus, just touching Jesus for 1 second, instantly healed what the care of many doctors, taking all of her money up, they could not heal her. 12 years. And all she had to do, she said to herself, she said, according to Matthew, if I just touch His clothes, I will be healed. And instantly she was healed of her suffering. Instantly, one touch. Now I want you to see something here. She was in a hopeless situation, wasn't she? Now, we don't know for sure if this is a life or death situation, but I can tell you it was not a life situation. It was not good. Now, we also know that this is an impossible situation, wasn't it? There is no way for man to heal her. Now, you know what it says in Jeremiah? I believe it's verse 6. Cursed is the man who trusteth in man, who maketh the flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. What does that mean? When we put our hope and our faith in doctors instead of God, there's a curse on us. Why? Because you're in rebellion against God's word. Now, people do this ignorantly if they haven't been taught. God's a whole lot more lenient on someone who does not know. But when we come to a place where we're accountable and we believe that God could heal us, and we continually to seek doctors instead of seeking God diligently with our faith, then we put ourselves under the curse of the broken law. Why? Because we're in sin. How do you know? Because he said anyone who does what is not right, it's considered to him it is sin. You see? When we know what it is to do good and do not do it, it is sin. So when we know we should be doing things and we're continually to do our own thing, like we know that God's dealing with our hearts, that we should believe him for healing, and we continue to seek the doctors instead, then we make things more difficult on ourselves. In a hopeless situation, I can tell you this, when it comes to life or death, when it is a situation where someone's going to die, it's typically easier to get them healed than a Christian that has a common cold. Why is that? Because it's a hopeless situation. It's typically easier to get someone a miracle that is in an absolute life or death situation, and it is impossible for them to get healed any other way. Like cancer, for instance, doctor says you're going to die in 6 months. Sometimes it's easier to get that person healed. Why? Because they've left putting their faith in man and in themselves, and now they have to. They're forced into a position to put their faith in God. Now, I can also tell you this, that if people who are having problems on a regular basis with their physical body, people are constantly having problems with their physical body over and over and over, if they're in that type of situation, if they would seek God for healing even half as hard as they spend all that time setting doctor's appointments and running over to the hospital and going to the doctor and calling the ambulance and all this other, taking all this medication all day, if they would seek God even half that hard, they would have already received their healing. But instead of putting their faith in God's word, they go back home, they take their pills, they call up and make another doctor's appointment, and they sit around complaining that they feel like garbage. Now, I've been healed of many things. God has healed my knee. I had a knee that bothered me for half of my youth. That thing hurt so bad. I've been healed of asthma. God's healed me of asthma. He's healed me of some other things. Many things. Healed me of mental and emotional problems, depression. All sorts of problems he's healed me from. And that's not talking all the other hundreds of things that have tried to cling to my body over the years that I've resisted and overcome one way or another. I know people, I've heard of many people getting healed of cancers, leukemias, and paralysis, and heart problems, and all sorts of stuff. People get healed every day. Miracles. God is in the miracle business. God is a miracle-working God. And if we will seek Him diligently, how do I do that, Pastor Dan? Let me give you an example. If I had something consistent in my body, a malignant problem of pain and suffering that just would not seem to let go, and I had time to do it, I would sit around for up to 3-4 hours a day calling myself healed. I would just sit there. If I couldn't walk, I would sit there and I'd say, Father, I thank you that I'm healed. If I was so weak that I could barely breathe, I'd say, Father, I thank you that I'm healed. I'd take a few breaths, I'd catch my breath. I'd say, Father, I thank you, I'm healed. And I would sit there and I'd do that, and I'd start out with an hour a day. I'm talking to you now. If you got malignant problems, whatever it is, big or small, you need to start calling yourself healed. Start resisting the devil. Keep confessing his word. Why? Because instead of walking around saying you're in pain, it hurts, when you say that, your spirit picks that up, the ears of your spirit pick that up, and your words are seeds. He said in Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. You're planting seeds of life. You're planting seeds of death into your physical body. Every time you say that you have pain, you just planted death into your body. I don't think so. I'm telling you the truth. Every single time. I've seen people, you know, they constantly say they're getting old. And by the time, you know, they got other relatives that are same age as them, and they look twice as old as this other one. Why is that? Because they kept speaking that over their bodies. And then you got another one and says, man, I feel younger every day. And they're 60, 70, 80 years old. They're running around with all this vigor. Why is that? A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. Proverbs 18:21. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, he said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, is another place. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. James said the tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. He said, consider what a large forest is set on fire by a small spark. He said, it's the same with the tongue. If we consistently speak words of death over our body and over our life and over our finance, you keep calling yourself broke, enjoy it, man. I mean, you're going to have all the brokenness you can have. But if you'll start, like he said, you let the poor say I'm rich and consistently speak it and quit looking at what your checkbook says, over time you're going to see there'll be increase. Everyone say increase.
Increase.
We also want to have increase in our physical body. Increase of what? Life. How are we going to do that? We're going to go home, and when sickness comes up against us, we're going to say, nope, I resist you, you pain. You get out of here in Jesus' name. I have health. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I will tell you this, it is literally impossible to sit around calling yourself healed for 15 minutes without feeling some kind of quickening in your body. You would not be able to do that. If you would walk around calling yourself healed, I'm healed. And believing what God says. Well, I don't believe it. I feel all this doubt in my head. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. You're going to have what you say. Jesus said, he said, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go. Throw yourself into the sea. And does not anyone says to the mountain. He didn't say the preacher. He said anyone. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. He talked about believing it twice. He talked about saying it three times. Why? Because Jesus knew the power of words. He knew the power of death and life is in the tongue. And if we'll consistently speak the words of life or what we want to see in our life to come to pass, it will eventually come to pass. And then he wanted to say, therefore I tell you, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will have it. Well, I don't have it now. He didn't say you have it now. He said you will have it. Which means eventually it's going to come to pass. Just keep telling yourself, I'm healed and it will come to pass. Jesus said it will happen. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Oh, Pastor Dan, you don't really think that means what it says. Yeah, just like the rest of your Bible, right? It means what it says. Amen? It does it. I'm telling you from experience that God's Word works. Every negative circumstance, when some impossible situation presents itself to my wife and I, you know what we do? I look at her, I say, it's just another opportunity to prove that God's Word works. And then what do? We pray and we watch God do what He said. Amen? How do you know it's going to happen? Everything looks impossible, Pastor Dan. All things are possible with God. If it wasn't impossible, what do you need God for? What do you need God for if it's not impossible? But I'm old. Don't listen to that. I'm old. Forget about it. You can have health even up till the day you die and 100 years old. You do not have to be old. You can have the quickening life of God in your body even when you are old in age. Age is nothing but a number, they say. Amen? Now your body may, certain things may happen up against your body, but resist it. Aggressively with your faith. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. The healer's here. Amen? Just lift up your hands and worship Him. You know, we've got something better than winning the lottery. We've got Jesus, amen? We've got an ever-present, every second of every day, you've got an immediate doctor, a physician, immediate provider, immediate shield and protection. You've got everything that pertains to life and godliness with you every second of every day if we just live according to His Word. Amen? It's all right here. We don't have to even make a phone call. All you got to say is, in the name of Jesus, Father. And His ear is attentive to your prayer. He wants to hear what you have to say. He wants to change you from glory to glory. He wants to mold and shape you into who He's called you to be. You know, if people would stop making excuses of why they can't make it to church and start making excuses why they have to make it to church, they could be healed. I've heard of many people that got pain in their body. They don't come to church. The first place I would run is to the church. Why? Because that's where the anointing is there. The anointing is when we assemble together as believers. There's more power when we come together. The first thing we should do is run to church when we have a problem. Not try to do our own thing or try to fight it on our own. That's why He gave us family. Amen? We should come together and pray together. That's why we come together, so we can say, I'm going through this. Will you pray for me? And we can all pray together. We can all get set free together. We can all love each other. Amen? The body cannot function. Your hand cannot function independently of your physical body. Your foot cannot function independently of your physical body. What would it do? It would crumble up and it would die, wouldn't it? It would get hard eventually. Rigor mortis, or whatever they call it, would set in. But when we're together, there's life. That body assembled together, joined and held together by every supporting sinew and ligament, it makes the entire body of Christ, and we are a body. And as we come together, we can function together, and that life can flow through us, so we can be in unity with His Spirit. Amen? There's something very powerful when we come together. I mean, when people sit home and they murmur and complain and take pills, I mean, they might as well do it. Go on and suffer. If you're that lazy to seek God, I mean, you're going to suffer. It's going to happen. I don't want it to happen. God doesn't want it to happen. There's only one person that wants that to happen, and that's the devil. He wants you to sit home, murmuring and complaining, practicing witchcraft without even knowing it, speaking words of death and being miserable. Misery loves company, and he wants to influence you to speak those words. But God has taught us today that if we'll speak words of life and diligently seek Him, harder than we'd ever seek the doctor, we can have His life flowing in our body. Amen? And eventually we can get to that place where you're consistently walking in health. If you've got a lot of problems, it may take a while to fight your way out of that, but be aggressive. Spend an hour a day confessing, I'm healed. I'm healed. Say it about 1,000 times a day. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. I feel good. I feel great. I feel good. Jesus lives in me. I'm healthy. I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You start saying that, man, 15 minutes goes by, you're going to feel about 20 years younger. The Holy Spirit's power is going to fall on you. Amen. Just one quick testimony. Got one young man born again yesterday. I just went for a bike ride. Never amounts much exercise, usually amounts of witnessing a bunch of people. And in less than 45 minutes time, I got one man baptized in the Holy Spirit. And similar to the other day when the Federal Express man came, the power of God fell on this man. Right there across the street on the park bench. I mean, the power of God came. The devil was coming out of him. He disappeared for about 10 minutes. He was not responding. God took him somewhere and he had experience of God. Similar to with the Federal Express man. I mean, God did, he was healing in him, his emotions, and tears are coming out, and then all of a sudden he started praying in the Holy Ghost, and he got set free. Amen? Why? Because I just asked him if he'd baptized in the Holy Ghost. You could have done that. You mean I can do that? But you're anointed past that. So are you. Amen? And anointing is something that can be developed. You can have more power. Just step up by faith and ask questions. Ask people if they're born again. Hallelujah.